Edgar Caret writes explosively funny, almost surreal, short fiction. A new collection of his works just been published in English, The Girl on the Fridge, contains a story called The Summer of 76. Caret told Anne Strangechamps it's based on his own childhood. Here's an excerpt. On holidays, we'd go to visit Grandpa Reuven in Zikron, and when he shook my hand, he'd squeeze it so hard I cried. Then he'd yell at me that I was spoiled and needed to learn to shake hands like a man. He'd always tell my mother she was bringing me up all wrong, that she wasn't preparing me for life. And Mom would apologize and say that actually she was preparing me. It was just that life today wasn't anything like life used to be. That today you didn't have to know how to make Molotov cocktails from alcohol and nails, or how to kill for bread. It was enough to learn how to enjoy life. But Grandpa wouldn't let it go. He'd pinch my ear and whisper that if you want to know how to enjoy life, you also have to know what sadness is. Otherwise, it isn't worth a damn. I tried. But life was so beautiful then, that summer of 76, that no matter how hard I worked at it, I couldn't be sad about anything.
I'm the son of two Holocaust survivors. You know, my mother lost all her family in the Warsaw Ghetto. She saw her mother and brother murdered before her eyes. And there was these things that, you know, kind of growing up in the 70s that were basically the best years for Israel. It was after the great victory of the 67 war and before we realized that, you know, that occupying the territories had its moral problems. You know, it was just kind of those golden years where everybody loved us, and, you know, and Israel won the Eurovision twice in a row, and we had the Israeli Miss Universe, and everything looked great. And I always kind of compared my childhood to my parents' terrible childhood, and I kind of felt that I'm living some sort of a limited life, you know, that it was only a very small part of that spectrum of life, that I wasn't experiencing all the emotions, the human emotions around.
You know, a lot of Americans, I think, have grown up thinking, when they think about Israeli literature, they think, they expect old-fashioned tales of life on the kibbutz, stories full of hope and strength and determination. And your stories are so different. Do you think of yourself as trying to capture the real Israel today, now, what it's like to live there?
Well, I bet, you know, there are many real Israels. But I'm trying to write about the Israel that I know about around me. You know, for me, an Israeli story is an Orthodox guy going into a McDonald's in a shopping mall and asking if the hamburger is kosher. You know, this is a true Israeli story of the 21st century for me. And many times, you know, when I go overseas and I have readings, there are all those people who love Israel, you know, mostly Jewish people that love Israel, and Israel represents something kind of abstract and very emotional for them. They generally get angry at me, you know? Like, you know, I had this woman saying to me, I've been to Israel in 58 and it's nothing like what you write about, you know? Why do you write those lies? And I think that they need this image of Israel and they want to keep it intact, and I have full empathy for that, you know? I'm saying many people in Israel would like to imagine the diaspora as a place full of Cossacks, you know, that they kill Jewish men and rape Jewish women. It just makes your life easier, you know, when you keep this image in mind. So I think for many Jews overseas, kind of Israel is this safe haven, you know, this beautiful and pure place, and unfortunately it isn't.
Let's talk a little bit about how you as a writer are trying to capture that particular sensibility. Your stories, and especially in your new collection, The Girl on the Fridge, they're really short. I mean, this book contains, it's not a big book, and contains almost 50 stories. Is the conciseness and the shortness of your stories, does that partly grow out of your feeling about modern Israel?
For sure. I said once that I see my stories like explosions, you know, like eruptions. There are no slow explosions. There are no long explosions. It's just the stories, usually I think they're kind of documenting those fractures, those things that kind of move from one position to another, you know? So they don't have this kind of epic length breath, because I don't live in a reality that has epic length processes, you know? It's all kind of a bunch of minutes that kind of turn you upside down from one condition to another.
Your work is especially popular I think, with a younger generation of Israeli readers. Is that how you think of your readership, as sort of a younger generation?
The kernel of my readers are people, I would say, in their 20s and 30s.
And what is it, do you think, about your writing that especially speaks to them?
Well, I think that most of my protagonists are outsiders. And I think that the Israeli society and the art representations of the Israeli society rarely used to speak about outsiders. You know, it's a collective society, and the stories and the movies were about that collective. So I think that many people who really don't feel they completely belong, they can identify with those characters that don't find their place in society.
You've also, your work is notable for having been made into a lot of films. I think I read somewhere something like 40 of your short stories have been filmed.
Yes.
That's really phenomenal. And you and your wife recently made a film, Jellyfish, which did very well at the Cannes Film Festival in 2007. Can you tell us a little bit about Jellyfish?
It's a screenplay that my wife wrote, and my wife, Shira Geffen, she's primarily a poet and a playwright, and it was a wonderful screenplay, which I loved from the first moment, and both of us were not film directors, so we just gave Shira's screenplay to the best directors in Israel, and they all hated it, you know, they didn't understand what it was about. So at some stage I said to my wife, you know, if we won't do it, then there won't be a film, you know.
Hmm. Well, again, unlike a lot of Israeli films, you know, nothing in the film really has much to do with the Arab-Israeli conflict. I mean, you see men and women who are too busy to cope with their aging parents, or intolerance towards a Filipina housekeeper who doesn't speak Hebrew, an insensitive boss who's really hard on his female employees. You know, these are stories about people that could be happening in many places, in New York City, for instance. Were you kind of partly making a point about the ways in which life in Israel is so very like life other places?
Well, you know, we never felt that there was something kind of strange or awkward about it, because she was telling a story that takes place in Israel and it wasn't about the conflict. But it was only when we tried to find some funding for the film, we realized that it's difficult to fund a film about Israel that doesn't deal with the conflict, you know? I think many people kind of reduce themselves to that conflict. But, and I think that the Israeli identity, you know, the conflict is a huge part of it, but it's not the only thing about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know if in Italy they only do mafia films, you know? So other so people there that, I don't know, they fall in love, there's are parents there that leave their child behind, you know? There is an entire life there beyond that one specific thing, you know? I have some other things to talk about. Like, let's say, Philippine workers' rights in Israel is an issue I want to speak about too, you know. And in Israel, like, you know, many things like foreign workers' rights are things that are very much neglected, because everybody thinks that first we solve the conflict and then we deal with that, you know.
Edgar Caretz just had another collection of his stories published in English. It's called The Girl on the Fridge. Anne Strangeham spoke with him.